Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I am Paul Gallant. We got John Mapes behind the glass. You can join us on twitch.tv/ESPN975 to watch the show in video form. I don't think I look that dead today. I know that my voice definitely sounds a little bit ratchet. It happens when you binge drink a lot of wine and other things, smoke some cigars, etc., etc., etc. In Napa! Also, drove in a Ferrari on the Golden Gate Bridge. That was so cool. Think about California. Obviously, there are lots of reasons to perhaps not want to go there. I think a lot of them have to do with taxes. Homeless situation is not great. But it is a very pretty place. And when the weather cooperates, I mean, it's pretty awesome. I love it here, but I always get a little bummed out after, say, I don't know, again, driving on the Golden Gate Bridge in a Ferrari. It's a little bit of a bummer to come back and like then drive through, you know, the outer rim of George Bush Intercontinental Airport, which took me and my friend a good 2 hours to leave yesterday due to the traffic. Like we were stuck at the exit to the short-term parking lot because the machines were all broken. And it already took us a long time to get a bag. And then all of a sudden, you're just driving through, you know, the north side of town. Let's be fair. Even if the Texas sunset was pretty last night, Texas is not, at least compared to Napa, San Francisco, the prettiest. It's got flavor. It's got sass. It's got food. But can we admit that? Is that fair? Am I going to get canceled for saying that?
Yeah, some places are better to visit than they are to live. And I think all the places that you would want to visit in California fall into that.
Right. And you don't want to stay there because, holy Christ, that stuff was so damn expensive
Yes. Everywhere.
Gas at one place that we drove by was $7 a gallon.
Yeah, I can't imagine filling up the Ferrari.
Holy, yes. Yeah. Well, we were thinking about that at the very end. We're like, oh, well.
Maybe just if we have to, just fill it up just enough to get it back to the wherever you rent it from.
Right, exactly. So it was. I don't know how it was set up. My buddy like just called a guy who had a Ferrari. He's like, yeah, can I have it for the weekend? And yeah,
wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm very curious as to how that works.
Called Barry Bonds and got a.
Yeah, it was like Ferrari B&B. I guess there's a way to do it. So. Anyway, I had a lot of fun, but we are back to reality. The Houston Astros lost 2 of 3 over the weekend to the Texas Rangers, and we're trying to piece together what the Houston Texans are likely to do with that second overall pick in the NFL draft next Thursday. Lance Zierlein on the bench this morning shared that the Texans are, I guess, exploring the idea of trading that second overall pick. Potentially working their way out. That was interesting to see, to hear. Does that mean that maybe they think to themselves, none of these quarterbacks are worth it, but none of the other guys, Jalen Carter, the defensive lineman out of Georgia, Will Anderson from Alabama, the edge rusher, Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech, the other edge rusher. I keep on forgetting him. It's just weird. The idea of Texas Tech having a top 10 caliber defender does not make any sense to me. Just based off of Texas Tech's entire history. I feel like you can't. And I saw a guy in Seattle get drafted, I think in the first round, Jordan Brooks, middle linebacker by the Seahawks when I was up there. It's just weird. The idea of a Texas Tech defender being a top 10 draft pick. Whatever. good for Tyree Wilson if he ends up being it. But Peter King is saying Tyree Wilson's in competition with Will Anderson to be that second pick by the Texans. The Texans have met Will Anderson three times, and they are supposedly split on C.J. Stroud, the quarterback out of Ohio State, who, based off of what you're hearing from Carolina, will presumably be the quarterback left on the board after Carolina takes Young first overall. Dave Tepper really likes Bryce Young. Dave Tepper does seem to be more meddlesome than other owners, especially after how badly the Matt Rhule experiment went. So he gets a little reactive. He sees a quarterback a couple of times playing in college and seeing what Young was able to do despite not having the best supporting cast around him this past season. And, of course, making some really brilliant plays the year before, winning the Heisman. I am curious. See what happens. I think we all are. But that's the latest we got. And I know that's not enough for some people out there who are getting really tired of this talk. I'm tired of it. You know I've been tired of it. I've been very consistent on it. I think draft conversation sucks. It's especially these days where now everyone seems to believe that they know what's happening, at least with the reports, and I put that in quotation marks, that they put out on the internet, on TV, on the radio, on a podcast. There's such a volume of supposed information, which might be nothing. It literally could just be smoke. And I think that's made it the worst for me right now. I'm not freaking out about any of this stuff. I would like some actual reporting where someone would even go so far as to quote somebody who was giving them that quote about some player that's going to be drafted first or second overall. That's what I want, and we're getting nothing close to that right now.
My favorite reports are the, like, they're still weighing all the options. They're still, which is basically just the Jim Irsay tweet, but yeah. Instead of Jim Irsay tweeting it, it's Ian Rappaport on NFL Network dressing it up, but then just saying, I don't know, the Texans could do anything.
They could do take a lot quarterback. Of things.
They could take a defensive player. They could trade down. It's like, okay, thank you for this this information that all options are on the table.
They might not get the pick in on time, Sean, you know?
Yeah.
They might throw a real curveball at everybody. Just a giant middle finger at the entire fan base just for bleep's sake.
Bill O'Brien might get mad at someone again like he did in the 2020 draft.
It'd be really funny if they brought Bill O'Brien back. And obviously he's on the Patriots now, but Bill O'Brien to make the pick. Texans legend Bill O'Brien's going to make the second round pick this year for the Houston Texans.
Who will make the set? That this is the draft talk we need to be doing. Who
yeah,
will make
right?
the obligatory what the 33rd pick in the draft?
You know what? I want it to be Dave Ragone. Okay. Dave Ragone. How about that? Dave Ragone. Look, after David Carr and before Deshaun Watson, Dave Ragone was the earliest drafted Houston Texan quarterback. Was he a third round pick? Was he a second round pick? The Dave Ragone. Sage Rosenfels, I think for a lot of people, has got to be close to the top. The Rosencopter was a moment of misery, right? Like, I think it's appreciated ironically these days, but it's not just that Rosenfels literally got destroyed on that play. The Colts also returned that fumble for a touchdown.
And I think it was definitely part of, I forgot if it was the last touchdown of a 21-point comeback.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, you're right. It was an epic collapse.
It was an epic collapse. Actually, I think that was the tie. I could be wrong on that. But I remember watching it in, whatever, 2010. But
I was in college. I remember seeing the highlights, and all of us were like, are you on NFL primetime? And we were like, well, are you bleeping serious? Did this really happen?
So for me, and maybe this speaks to my overall relationship with the Texans, is that when that happened, I immediately was like, oh, my God, this is actually – because I knew they were going to blow it. Like, at that point, they had already shown enough. At that point, Sage Rosenfels was the quarterback. And so you're like, Peyton Manning is going to come back from this because the Colts always beat the Texans. And then so to throw in an iconic play like that. It was immediately funny. Just like, what was going on there? Gary Brackett, by the way.
Gary Brackett, you're right. Gary Brackett. Have you ever played fantasy football with defensive players?
No.
I
not
have.
Not dork. Not nerd. Sorry. I worry about touchdowns.
Oh, okay. I'm Sean. I don't like defensive players in my fantasy football league. I'm so cool. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to have that. I had Gary Brackett on some fantasy team, and I remember, like, you would have this one random middle linebacker who just racked up, like, 190 tackles.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's my guy. D'Amico Ryans won me a fantasy football league as a Houston Texans linebacker his rookie year because I didn't show up for the draft. It auto-drafted, and I was like, are you serious? This sucks. And I won my league that year because I did a really good job signing players.
D'Amico
Ryans, number one.
Do you think that D'Amico Ryans – maybe you tell D'Amico Ryans that at some point, and then he's like, oh, maybe that should be our draft strategy, is that we just go to auto-draft as the Houston Texans.
Oh, no.
And just whoever's highest on the board.
I kind of want it to happen.
Whoever Mel Kiper has us taking, that's who we take.
There is a part of me that wants this, just a little bit. Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 11:30, Nick Caserio speaking to the media. We have no idea why. Is it possible that he's walking away from the organization? You'll hear it live first here, if you're so inclined. Up next, look, there's basketball playoff games going on right now, and that's great. But the NBA stays this league because Russell Westbrook's trying to fight fans and Ja Morant's suing a teenager for slander. Paul Gallacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Thank you very much, John Tesh, for creating this song. Also, maybe my favorite SNL skit of late, and this is going way back, Tim Robinson of I Think You Should Leave fame on Netflix, along with, how am I forgetting Ted Lasso guy's name? Jason Sudeikis. They did a skit together where it was essentially this song, but with lyrics. Give me the ball, because I'm going to dunk it! Let's go around the NBA. The playoffs are underway, but bleep the games. Who cares about that? I saw a hilarious headline. Russell Westbrook overcomes poor shooting with clutch play. How bad was the shooting? He went 3-for-19 from the field as LA, his beloved Clippers, beat the Suns 115-110. But no one's talking about Russell Westbrook's clutch play. They are talking about Russell Westbrook getting into it with a fan in what looks to be a VIP lounge that is directly in the tunnel that goes in and out of, I guess, the road team's locker rooms. That's interesting. No way that would backfire. Here is Russell Westbrook yelling at a fan. So, do you think that the person talking to Russell Westbrook said something bad? Really bad? Possibly racist? Or do you think that the person said Westbrook to Russell Westbrook?
Well, I mean, Paul, that is something really bad. He's disrespecting his name, Paul.
And he said that he has a child that it gets really upset when...
His five-year-old in kindergarten, the other five-year-olds call him Westbrook, or six-year-olds, or however old he is now.
He's such a terrible shooter. But I think the worst part about Russell Westbrook that we've seen over the last couple of years is how thin his skin is. And look, I get it. Some of these guys deal with a lot of horrible, horrible things said to them. You're getting paid a ton of money to deal with it, but okay, maybe that's not enough. If Westbrook gets under your skin like this, which I'm guessing happened, I don't know where does the line stop with you? Like, where is it where you'll actually have the self-awareness to laugh at it? It's a stupid nickname, but it is fairly accurate one on a night where you're 3-for-19 for the field.
That's what I was going to say. He went 3-for-19. Like, if you can't call a man Westbrook after he goes 3-for-19 and wins, he still won. It's not like he was like, you know, guys that after they lose, they're in a bad mood and they kind of take it out on the first guy. Like Anthony Rendon. Rendon video.
Oh, yeah.
But this was after a win, and he made a clutch defensive play. Like,
shocker.
People on Twitter were like, did we just watch the best 3-for-19 performance in NBA history?
Hell yeah.
But no, we didn't, because Russell Westbrook in 2021.
Brooke, not Brick.
What'd I say?
You said Brick.
He had Mr. Wes Blank. the Wes B word had had shot 3 for 19, but had like 21 assists and 14 rebounds.
Hell yeah!
So he had a triple double.
Let's continue to go around the NBA. So the Lakers, hey, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies in the first game of that series. LeBron James is back to lying for no reason again. Here is LeBron James talking about, what's this guy's name?
Austin Reeves.
Austin Reeves, who is like the
Hillbilly Kobe.
He's the new Lakers Alex Caruso.
Except he's actually really good.
Here is LeBron James talking about Austin Reeves.
Well, it's not surprising to me. I knew from the first practice that we had when we grabbed him that he wasn't going to be a two-way player for long. A couple weeks went by. I knew he was going to get a guaranteed contract at some point. I just know I've been around the game long enough to know great basketball IQ players. It's not surprising what he was doing tonight. Maybe to some of you guys who don't watch him as much or don't cover him as much, but for me it's not. I'm extremely happy for him, and I want him to do it again.
So basically LeBron just said there, yeah, I watch more basketball than you guys, and I knew this was going to happen. So, do you believe him? Not going to lie, I don't. I bet that LeBron saw this guy who, as he said, was a player on a two-way contract going back and forth between the G League and thought to himself the first time he saw them, no offense, but I bet he was like, this white guy, come on, wouldn't you?
You don't think that the first practice that this G League undrafted free agent was in with the Lakers, LeBron didn't look at him and say, wow, this guy one day is going to score 23 points in a playoff game where I only score 21 and will go on a personal 9-0 run to close out a 2-seed. You don't think that he was like, you know, I can see way, way in the future one day at the end with 1 minute left in a playoff game, we're going to be running pick and rolls with with Austin Reaves and I will just be standing by the 3-point line.
Yeah.
I think he saw that.
He knew Kobe was going to score 80, and he knew Austin Reaves was going to dominate in this game. It's weird that he always feels the need to just add the little bit of lie on top of this. It's an unnecessary lie.
It's one thing to be like, no, I always saw this in Austin Reaves. Like, we believe in him, blah, 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 blah. Like, just kind of big up your man. But, like, to, like, go as far as, like, some of y'all didn't see it for some reason.
Let's continue to stick with this series. Ja Morant filed a countersuit against the teenager Joshua Holloway, saying he is the victim of slander, assault, and battery. Countersuit says that lies from Holloway and the leaks of lies to the media have impacted his all-NBA chances. Remember, if you did not tune in for this story originally when we discussed it, where I even gave Ja Morant a little bit of credit. I was like, listen, sometimes teenagers are the worst. But Ja Morant, if I'm not mistaken, is alleged to have punched this teenager 13 times and pulled a gun on him after he punched him 13 times.
The report was 12 or 13 times.
12 or 13. So, by that, we do need to get the
That was damaging
correct.
What you did to Ja Morant's reputation.
His All-NBA chances.
That cost him All-NBA third team right there.
See, that's what I can't get past is it's affecting his All-NBA chances.
Also, that doesn't actually affect his money, though, because he already made an All-NBA team, so he's already getting the Supermax. So that doesn't affect him at all.
It's a weird fight for the sake of fighting. This might be like Gwyneth Paltrow fighting against that doctor just because bleep the person. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nick Caserio, general manager of the Houston Texans, has a 11:30 press conference scheduled today. Are we about to hear something really, really shocking? We will find out in a moment. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real.
Let's go.
Fun. Sports. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Houston Texans general manager Nick Caserio is expected to say something in a couple of minutes. We will toss to Nick Caserio whenever he gets up at the podium. I thought an interesting tweet brought up by Big Sarge Sports. It's a quote from Caserio at Caserio's press conference where it was clear that both Cal and Hannah McNair wanted him to sweat it out. This is before they made the hiring of D'Amico Ryans. It's just 30 minutes where Caserio was facing and fielding progressively more and more aggressive questions. Anyway, Caserio had said this at that press conference. If they, the Texans, feel that whether or not in my position that I'm worthwhile to be in my position, if ultimately the best thing for the organization is for me not to be in that position, then I have to respect and acknowledge that. Interesting. Perhaps he is about to do that. So, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Caserio, general manager of the Houston Texans.
You know, to add players to our team, I think before we move forward with anything, just a few thank yous I think are in order. Anytime you do something of this magnitude, there's a lot of people that are involved in that process along the way from the beginning. As far back as, let's call it last August, you know, last June, last May. And I think we've had a really, I would say, productive and collaborative effort this spring between the scouting staff and the coaching staff. Even with the changes that have taken place on the coaching front, we've had a really lot of constructive discussions with everybody involved. This process isn't about one person. It's not about one player. It's a collective effort. And that's our mindset organizationally, but specifically just on the scouting side. And I think you all had an opportunity to hear from Lip, you know, last week or a few weeks ago. But, you know, really can't thank him enough for his effort and the way he organizes the group and the work and the time and the commitment that he puts in. But kind of going to go through these guys really individually. Just don't want to leave anybody out. But Lip, you know, Tom Hayden, John Richard, Zeke Curtis, Bailey Brown, Blaze Taggart, George Panos, Najee Johnson, Brad Matthews. You know, those guys really put in more time than anybody specific to the college scouting process, and they've enabled us to really get to this point. And then we have a number of folks in-house that are involved in the process as well, Nate and RJ. And on the pro side, when we involve the pro scouts and part of the pro scouting process is understanding the league, understanding maybe some of the needs and some of the direction where other teams are going to go. So we allocate time and resources in that group. Ronnie, DJ, you know, Todd, Frank Edgerly, Rohit, you know, Sam, Andrew Brown, who's involved in, I say, the visit process. Those people deserve as much credit, I'd say, as anybody in the building. So just think it's appropriate to acknowledge them as we work through this here in anticipation of what's going to happen next week. And then, you know, before we take any questions, quite frankly, I'm almost embarrassed that I have to say anything. I mean, honestly, I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street. But I'm not leaving. There's never really been any substantive discussions of the sort. Grateful and appreciative of the opportunity that my family and I have here in Houston. We understood when we arrived, when we got here, that there was a lot of work to be done. And I think when you look across the NFL landscape, there's work to be done in every organization. And I think we've made some progress. We still have a lot of work in front of us. Certainly, it's been a joy to work with D'Amico in concert as we build the team and continue to build the staff. You know, unfortunately, I think this time of year, there's a lot of information and a lot of topics that are discussed. Some are more accurate than others, and I think it transcends multiple landscapes. But I'm almost embarrassed that I have to say anything, but I feel like I have an obligation to to make that statement, really try to stay ahead of it. I don't think there's anything else to talk about or to say or any question about it. Again, appreciative of the opportunity that we have here, very grateful. And my philosophy and goal is just try to do the best job that I can for the people in this organization, in this building, for the city. And as long as ownership approves of what we're trying to do, then, you know, certainly their support is welcomed. So having said that, you know, we'll take some questions here and go from there. Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go through the team. We'll look at everything. I think D'Amico made some comments. I want to say he spoke last Monday or something like that, and he was asked some questions. But, you know, we want to have a good football team. I think building the team is the most important thing, how that all comes together.
Cut this. You know what's embarrassing? What's embarrassing is that I actually thought something was going to happen here. And see, you know what? Let's just go back to where we've been the last couple of weeks when it comes to any conversation about the Houston Texans. No one bleeping knows a thing. And the fact that he even said it right there, it is embarrassing that he is acknowledging these rumors that he might leave the Texans organization before the draft. And that, honestly, I did fall hook, line, and sinker for it. See this announcement that's coming at 11:30? Don't put it back up. Don't put it back up. Sean's laughing. This isn't funny, okay? This is embarrassing. We just got Rick rolled. We got Caserio rolled. How about that? That actually works. It actually rolls as a word. We got Caserio rolled. And this is an outrage. This is an outrage to the Paul Gallant Show experience. I thought that we would actually get something in that press conference. Instead, we just got Nick Caserio word salad. My God, how long was that opening statement? 7 minutes? And look, this is nothing against Nick Caserio. I'm just mad at myself right now. That's all I am. Just mad at myself. I thought we were going to actually have something here. Nope. Instead, it's just a bunch of noise. Nick Caserio thanking literally everybody. Why did you thank your family, Caserio, as you get ready for this draft process? Good God.
To me, the most surprising, because nothing was surprising about this. I guess surprising that he stayed, maybe. But the most surprising thing is that to announce that he's staying, that he quoted the Wolf of Wall Street.
I know.
I just cannot see Nick Caserio just sitting down and watching, like, Wolf of Wall Street. I can't see him watching a movie.
Do you think he's going to get in trouble with the Houston Texans for saying that he's watched The Wolf of Wall Street?
A rated R movie?
Well, I mean, it's rated R plus, right?
Yeah, no, but it's not the family values that I think the McNairs enjoy.
I don't think Cal and Hannah are going to like hearing that he,
you know,
first off, has watched Wolf of Wall Street.
That filth.
And maybe if they do like the movie, second, that Nick Caserio didn't even do the correct line, which is, I'm not bleeping leaving. There's a cuss there, and he did not deliver it.
I'm glad he didn't deliver it, by the way. As someone who's just...
I am mad that he didn't deliver it, because there was literally no point to playing any of that. There was no point at all. Oh, my God.
But we got it first. We were live. You were the first person in the city to react to this, because I imagined other radio stations are carrying the press conference.
Going. They're going to keep going. People are going to drive off the road, fall asleep, die.
Think about that. You're live reacting to it.
Oh,
what's his name? Walter Cronkite.
Yep.
That was embarrassing. What's his name? Walter Cronkite. But you're the Walter Cronkite of Nick Caserio is not leaving.
We got Nick rolled. We did. You know, we thought something was going to happen at this press conference. Are we going to play any of the audio from this tomorrow? Nope.
Maybe.
No.
I don't know. We'll see what Andrew plays for the wheelhouse.
Sean, this is, it's time. It's time to draw a line. And this
did
line.
Did you just draw a line on the, with your pen?
I'm drawing a line on a piece of paper dramatically. Okay. Stop giving me crap. Let me explain where I'm going here. Nick Caserio audio must be approved by at least three people. We have to figure out the third person before we play it on the air. We'll play it every now and then, but Nick Caserio audio specifically, we, I think, would be better served reading it. I think reading his comments are going to be better. I do. Because We can cut parts out. We can do...
We can dot, dot, dot.
...in ellipses, and yes, move on. Because it took him 6 minutes to make the embarrassing announcement. I'm not bleeping leaving. Although he didn't say bleeping. And he also said it twice. It's embarrassing that I have to make this announcement. But he's right. It is. And to his credit, he tried to have a little bit of fun with it. It must have been pretty annoying to see that out there. Because Caserio just doesn't talk to anybody. And you have all of these people that are out there. People are getting mad at local media over this. We're not the ones fanning this flame. This is where you have the hybrid, non-traditional people that cover the Texans turning this into a bleeping bleep storm. They are the ones that hear something and turn it into something else. And I'm not saying that it applies to all of them, but when you're going to put out a rumor that a guy is announcing a press conference at 11:30 to potentially walk away less than 10 days before the draft, whoever put that first one out there, they deserve jail. Internet jail, not real jail, freedom of the press, but that is misinformation. That is disinformation. COVID, blah. No. Texans draft reports, I need Twitter to step in and to put a disclaimer underneath every single one of these tweets or reports on Facebook. Like, I want the CDC to step in here and to take a stand and to stop this. I got Nick rolled today. I'm depressed. Paul Galancho, ESPN 975-925 713-780-3776 to call or text.
Just so I have this straight, that going forward to play Nick Caserio sound, there's going to be like, it's like firing a nuke where we need like several different
multiple people
key turns
need to turn the key
folders getting passed around.
Here's what I know is going to happen with you and your bleeping smirk on your face. What you're going to do, you're going to play.
Face.
No, you think this is hilarious because you know. Yes, you know when I get worked up, it's very easy to keep
all
me
of
going.
This is funny.
Yes, it's not at all.
I think the last 15 minutes of the radio show have been hilarious.
So this is what you're going to do. You're going to suggest a Caserio piece of audio, or you might even sneak one in, and I'm saying no, we will have somebody else. Because I'm going to vote against Nick Caserio cuts every bleeping time going forward. You are going to vote for them, and so we need an arbiter. We need somebody else to step in.
Do you want Joe? I mean, because I feel like everyone else, I don't know. I don't know who would be on your side.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You just want to send it to I don't know. One of the interns, like, listen to this and let me know.
But that intern better have the right answer because I'll fire his ass. I will fire that intern. I don't even, and you know what? I would never do something like that until now. This is where I draw the line. My
desperate times, desperate measures.
Oh, it's war. It is war. We are not playing Nick Caserio audio on this show ever again. Unless something legit happens. I don't even think whoever they draft with that first pick.
That was my question. So
the 12th pick?
The press conference after they trade down and draft Will Levis number 7 overall. you don't want Caserio.
No, I don't. I don't want it. I don't want it.
You just want the transcription.
I just want the transcripts. Oh my God. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
People are giving me crap because I'm not giving the people what they want. Because I put my foot down and have henceforth embargoed all Nick Caserio talky-talky on the Paul Gallant Show. The reign of word salad is over. It's not happening again. I feel like this entire press conference was an elaborate troll job. And yeah, maybe I sound like a conspiracy theorist right now, but we got Nick rolled by Nick Caserio. He announced this press conference, gives a 6-minute opening statement. He's thanking a bunch of people like something's about to happen. And then he says, it's kind of embarrassing I had to do this, but just like Leonardo DiCaprio and Wolf of Wall Street, I'm not leaving, except for he didn't say I'm not bleeping leaving. So we can't even use that as a soundbite going forward as some sort of hilarious drop to play. Nope. We couldn't even do that. So, no thank you, Nick Caserio.
Why are you talking about this Nick Caserio press conference like it's in the past tense?
Is it still going?
Previously that, you know, maybe we've outsourced to try to get maybe a second-hand view. So, whatever we feel we can do to improve what we're doing.
Is he talking about working together? Because the amount of times that he has said that over the course of potted down. Stop. We embargoed it. Okay?
I just had to sneak some in there.
No, you... I know you want
to
keep
talking about
watching.
Collaboration. Isn't that what you want from the Texans? With Bill O'Brien running the show, there was no collaboration in this organization.
It was fun.
Now there's collaboration. There's buzzwords. We're thanking the scouts. Thanks to the video guys. Thanks to the interns.
Look, this show has standards, okay? We're going to talk about my bachelor parties, whether or not I'm gay, among other things, okay? We're going to do that, but we're not going to break down Nick Caserio sound bites. Maybe the Wheelhouse will. You know, maybe they'll go through it. Boom, 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 boom. Giving you the Texans content you need. But we are drawing a line and building a wall. This is the wall that everyone needs. A wall between you and hearing Nick Caserio talkie, talkie, talkie. No more talkie. And look, there is a version of Nick Caserio who actually is a normal human being and isn't trying to hide a hint at something that the Texans might do in the draft. But he is not going to do it in front of a podium. And that is the bummer. This is not a personal thing with Nick Caserio. I'm just done. And this press conference, I feel like, was an elaborate troll job.
Oh, he's laughing right now. I have it on mute still, but he's laughing.
Of course he is.
So
he's probably listening to the show right now while he's doing the press conference at the same time.
It's like, man, Paul's getting me good.
Oh, that's our Paul.
They did talk. He talked more about, you know, what they're doing to arrive to evaluations and ultimately how they use that kind of collaboration to then
stop, collaborate, and listen.
Yes, and then to come to the best result as far as who they eventually pick on Thursday, and not just Thursday, but Friday too, and Saturday as well.
Oh,
they do have
God.
A lot of picks, so there's a lot of things that they're really excited about. The entire process actually has been very illuminating.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't been illuminating at all. I just wanted to keep
talking as long as Nick Caserio.
Yes, yeah.
You.
And you know, you had me drone out for just a second because you know I have ADD and that I stop listening after long periods of time. I'm not great. This is the problem I have in my own life with my friends and other people. My dad got mad at me the other day. I was on the phone with him and he could tell I had stopped paying attention to what he was saying. He's like, Paul, what did I just say? And I was like, the Iraq? I personally believe, like, such as, and the Iraq, so we could care about our children's futures. All right, guys, it's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Did anyone know that Jack Nicholson hadn't been seen in public in 2 years until this weekend? And unfortunately, the first pictures that are shown of him aren't the best. Headline, Jack Nicholson, 85, looks disheveled on LA balcony as he's seen for the first time in 2 years. I think I would go back into being a recluse. But there's a story I read where, and again, it's celebrity gossip, but it read that people are afraid that Jack Nicholson is going to die alone? Oh, jeez. This is mean, though. Okay, for 85 years old, I gotta say Nicholson does look in pretty good shape. all things considered.
Yeah, for 85, he's 85 years old. Of course he looks disheveled.
Right. Like, if you're waking up every single day, and you're Jack Nicholson, why do you need to shovel yourself? Remain disheveled.
And not only was he is he still 85 years old, he was on his balcony. He was an 85-year-old man in his own house. Of course he, again, did not shovel himself. He was he probably rolled out of bed.
Right.
Also, yeah, first time in 2 years. You could have told me that he was at the Laker play-in game on Tuesday, and I would have believed you. The fact he hasn't been seen in public for 2 years.
Who's the most famous recluse? Richard Simmons, probably? Because
yeah,
I think that Richard...
Howard Hughes?
Richard Simmons...
Oh, like current recluses? J.D. Salinger?
I think Richard Simmons like wasn't seen in public for multiple years. Like a very long time.
Rick Moranis?
Yeah, but Rick Moranis, there was like a legit reason for that because he stopped acting
to
take care of
his
kids because his wife died, which is like really sad. And Rick Moranis got bleeping mugged in New York City not that long ago.
Yeah, remember I remember that.
Yeah, it was like last year.
That's how he came out of his recluse.
Yeah, like imagine that's what you come out to.
CCTV video of him getting like beat
bundled
up.
Bundled, yeah. Right, absolutely smacked. Speaking of getting smacked, a drunk guy tackled Dinger, the Colorado Rockies mascot, during a game over the weekend. Here's what's interesting about it. This happened on the first base dugout on top of it. The guy escaped. He's still on the lam. Like, they haven't been able to apprehend him. And I watched this, and this is like textbook 2023 moment. Someone even had a cell phone camera up, caught the entire video. Dinger gets tackled. No one does a thing. The Colorado Rockies mascot just gets tackled, and everyone just stood around. Like, eh?
And it was like on the like first, like in the, like when he stands on the dugout.
It's in plain sight of everyone in that immediate vicinity. We're talking probably like at least 5,000 to 6,000 people.
But we got a lot of great Instagram stories out of it.
We sure did. But that guy escaped, and they actually, the Denver police put up essentially like a screen grab of the guy. Looks like just an absolute character, but a degenerate mostly. So that's the guy who tackled Dinger.
I can't believe he got out of there.
I can't either.
He had to, because if he's,
if you're on the first baseline and you're towards the front,
he had
you
to
have
walk
to get
up like 27
right,
rows.
Right, at least you got that is a long way up. There's going to be security everywhere. This is one of the most botched security jobs I can remember in an American sporting
event. Or just
event.
Where's like mob justice at that point? Like where someone from in a aisle seat in row 14 just stand in front of them, slow them down. Wow.
Bad job,
this guy's like Jason Bourne, or like crappy Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
He just disappeared. He's a ghost.
This is what happens when you legalize marijuana. Everyone's just too toked up.
You think people are too high to...
to stop the assault on Dinger.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe.
Remember
maybe they are too high.
Remember the controversy last year where a man was actually yelling Dinger and people thought he was yelling the N-bomb?
I don't remember that, but that's...
There was a massive scandal. Dinger, the Rockies mascot, man. He lives an interesting life.
That's crazy.
Love is Blind had a live reunion over the weekend, but it aired 90 minutes after it was supposed to. And it just makes me wonder, why would anyone want to watch something live on Netflix? Who clearly has no idea how to run a live event.
Facts.
I guess Chris Rock... Thank you. Thank you, Sean, for saying facts. Chris Rock's, I guess, stand-up special is really the only one that was live, right? And that didn't even end up airing without a hitch? Because didn't Chris Rock bundle one of the jokes that he was making about getting punched in the face by Will Smith?
Yeah, but that's on Chris Rock. That's on Chris Rock.
It is on Chris Rock. But
yeah, no, but he just stumbled over a word or two or something. Yeah.
Why would you want to watch something live on Netflix? Why would you want to watch a reunion of Love is Blind Season 4 live on Netflix?
And it really is like just... like how streaming is becoming cable and now Netflix is just becoming a TV channel. Like,
yes.
Where it's like they just want a live programming now.
Not good. Not good. But look, I'm happy. I watched Love is Blind Season 1. It was during the pandemic. It was the perfect kind of pandemic show. I'm never watching another season of it. Because here's the thing. Love is not blind. Love is shallow. We are shallow. I am shallow. You're shallow deep down inside. All that matters are people's appearances. That's it. It's not about what's inside them. It's about what they look like and how much money they have. That's how you can go to Napa and drive a Ferrari over the Golden Gate Bridge, everybody.
On God.
on God, for real.
Facts.
No cap. That was Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am merely Paul Gallant. Big thanks to our texters, our Twitchers, our callers, and our tweeters.
Nick Caserio.
To today's show. Nick Caserio as well, I guess. But embargo going forward. No more Nick Caserio audio. So long. Farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Have a wonderful Monday. Peace.
I mean, honestly, I feel like Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street.
ESPN 97.5.